Hello. On this podcast, we talk about movies, their faults, their flaws, and their plots. So, expect some spoilers.
You've been warned.
Welcome to Plot Spackle.
I'm John, and I think the worst place to turn into a werewolf would be at the Hershey's factory. Because you're going to die.
I'm Eric, and I think the worst place to turn into a werewolf would be at the gun show. I know most bullets won't kill you, but there is going to be that one guy at that one booth who was selling some silly props. Until now.
I'm Richard, and I think the worst place to turn into a werewolf would be at a dog show, because they might try to inspect you, and you may end up as people's choice.
All right, we got werewolves. We're talking about werewolves today. And what are we using to fill plot holes for the movie about werewolves?
Unused props?
Frozen corpses.
I think we should use both. Just frozen corpses tossed in with those props.
All right.
Frozen
propsicles?
Frozen propsicles. As we talk about the Wolfman. Which Wolfman are we talking about?
We are talking about the 2010 remake with Benicio del Toro.
Who was not Antonio Banderas.
So when we were deciding which movie, I totally thought it was Antonio Banderas. But to be fair, I had a 50% chance of naming the other Spanish actor.
I'm going to be honest, though. You were not the only person. Like, it's straight up one of the first Google out, and like every article is like, it's Benicio del Toro, not Antonio Banderas.
Did you know this is his second time playing a Wolfman?
Was he in Van Helsing?
He was not.
Oh.
He was in Pee-wee's Big Top.
Does Pee-wee's Big Top has a Wolfman?
It has a Wolfman, and it's Benicio del Toro.
Huh.
Is that why he got the job?
I don't know, but I know that it's his second time playing a Wolfman in a movie.
I'm wondering if in the not darkest timeline, if Antonio Banderas is the Wolfman.
Well, we should save that till
Benicio del Toro is Zorro.
Oh, I forgot about Zorro. But let's talk about
we should actually talk about the movie that we're gonna talk about in the podcast, and we're gonna hear a plot.
So The Wolfman begins with our main actor, Benicio del Toro, as Lawrence Talbot, a famous actor. Unfortunately for this famous actor, his brother is killed. And when he is set upon the mystery, like a dog who has caught the scent, he tracks down that murderer. Until that murderer tracks him down and turns him into the Wolfman. This newly minted werewolf is set loose on a town of peasants. And you know what peasants are really good at?
Dying.
Setting mills on fire.
Being on fire.
Wandering around with pitchforks in the air.
Yes. But they're really good at being torn apart by werewolves.
And their thatched roof cottages?
No, that's for the burninating dragons.
Okay.
The dragons like the thatched roof cottages that villagers make. Villagers are easily torn apart by werewolves. They have like a -5 penalty versus werewolves.
Ah.
But anyway, so let's get back into my most excellent plot synopses. Our protagonist, Lawrence, gets sent to a mental hospital in London because he obviously can't be a werewolf. I mean, unfortunately, those people just died by an accident.
He's just crazy because he's an actor.
Exactly.
Actors are crazy.
And he went to America.
Even worse. So he is being kept in a mental hospital until the next full moon, which, conveniently, he happens to break out of that mental hospital during the full moon. Being a, you know, werewolf monster helps. But Lawrence is wandering around London, inspiring many songs and many 80s movies. Until he goes back into his family's homestead in the moors of Scotland. And it's not Scotland?
It's not Scotland.
Where the heck are the moors? I thought they were like exclusive to Scotland.
No. The Scottish moors are better, but they have different things. This one's definitely England.
Oh. The English moors.
See, I thought it was like, you know, it's like Gaelish Lake. It's, you know, loch. You only have lochs in Scotland. Everywhere else is, you know,
it's a lake.
Lawrence goes back to his family's homestead to meet his father, who was the original Wolfman. These two Wolfmen fight to the death, and everyone dies, I guess. That's the end of the movie. No one's happy.
Yeah, and that is the movie. 'Tis the story. So now it is time for movie facts.
All right, movie facts. That's a thing that I have. Facts about this movie.
He's been just looking at facts to decide which ones he wants to share, what nuggets of wisdom he wants to leave behind.
The interesting bits and then the ones that are terrible and who knows. All right, so facts about this movie. The Wolfman was released on the 12th of February 2010, had an estimated budget of $150 million, made $31 million in the opening weekend, grossed a total of $61 million in the U.S., and made it all the way up to $139 million by the end of its worldwide release.
I just, like, these numbers just keep getting sadder.
It did not do well. But it did have some fun things. This is actually the second movie that Rick Baker was in charge of making werewolf costumes for. It's also the second werewolf movie to win Best Makeup in the Academy Awards for Rick Baker.
Ah.
So if you want werewolves, you have Rick Baker do it. He got it for American Werewolf in London and now The Wolfman. Some entertaining bits would be they have the big bear that the gypsies have that they accuse of being the first thing to kill everybody. It's recycled animation out of the Golden Compass. They just swapped out the polar bear and painted it brown in the digital stuff. But it's just the same bear. And let's see, where was my other one?
That's probably why they didn't do good, actually, is because Golden Compass didn't do good, and they have the, or didn't do well, and they have the cursed CG from a previous film. It's just bad luck.
They do.
Cursed CG.
And then David Schofield, who plays Constable Nye in the local village pub here, did the same thing as the Slaughtered Lamb pub in American Werewolf in London.
Lots of, like, werewolf connection here.
You might think so. In the director's cut, when they released that one, the Universal Studios logo at the beginning of the movie was replaced with the 1940s one.
Yeah, right. I noticed that. It was like, it showed up as one of the weird credits or whatever on the IMDb page. They were saying, oh, the Universal logo is white. Like, no, that is the original Universal logo.
Back when they only had two colors.
And they were happy about it.
Ask your parents, kids.
They had to walk uphill both ways.
In the snow.
To film every day.
In the middle of July.
No, they would just pay. They just hire extras and then not pay them. Or kill them in like flooding scenes or whatever.
Yeah.
Hollywood was different back then.
All right, but is that enough facts? Do we have enough factual evidence about this movie?
I mean, pretty much, yeah.
You don't want to hear a fact? I hadn't watched this movie before.
I don't think, remembering back to the numbers, no one did.
Yeah, no one here on this podcast had seen it before. We'd almost forgotten about it until, for some reason, Eric remembered.
Eric remembered the Antonio Banderas Wolfman movie.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, I wonder whatever happened to that. It's like, well, we did the Mummy movie for, I think, our first Horrorween.
Yeah, so I think now the pattern is set that we have to do a remake.
A crappy remake.
And this is a really wide field, because horror is filled with remakes and crappy remakes.
Just wait. We could hit up, like, we could just do a Dracula movie for, like, the next 12 years before we run out.
I was going to say that, well, we have the House of Wax. That's that. Those are some crappy. Well, there's one crappy remake I know. I never watched the original.
We could do Psycho.
Yep.
Anyways, we should stop talking about what we're going to do and talk about what we do do.
Where we did do.
Where we fill some plot holes. This wide list of plot holes.
Yep. But where are we getting the plot holes from?
We got some plot holes from IMDb.
Perfect. You were mentioning earlier, Richard, as you were looking for plot holes, some of the, I don't want to call them reporters, like
opinionated bloggers,
media.
Yes. Media is the problem.
Yeah. It has the same problem that Valerian did. Not a whole lot of people watched the movie. There were a lot of people who decided that they didn't like the movie and said that the movie was full of plot holes, but couldn't actually be bothered to list all of these many plot holes that ruined the movie for them. In general, they just complained about how Benicio del Toro was supposed to be a famous actor, but they really, really hate his Hamlet. They're like, no, it's the worst. And decided that basically everybody phoned it in, except for possibly Emily Blunt. And that may have been given to her because she was hot, she was the hot girl. But we have a full twos of plot holes from IMDb.
Two of them.
We have if you're in binary, you have 10 plot holes.
It could be
10 in binary.
Well, let's get started then.
I feel like that should be on a dating profile. I'm a 10 in binary.
So the first plot hole is that Sir John reveals that he got the curse after being bitten by a feral wolf boy when he was a young man. But somehow the curse wasn't passed on to Lawrence or his brother John when they were born.
Lycanthropy is not genetic.
You're saying supernatural curses aren't passed down through bloodlines?
Well, they could be. Specific ones obviously are. Like, you know,
zombieism, I'd say.
There is family curses. But I'd say this is kind of like one of those Aesop's Fables things, you know, where the reason leopards have spots is not because someone painted spots on one leopard and then all his children had it. That's not how things work. What I'm saying is you have to transfer it through bites and that's it.
So it's like rabies.
It's periodic rabies.
Rabies, but only on full moons.
Yeah. And it is magical, not an actual virus. I think
maybe it's ghost viruses.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
It is a ghost virus. There we go.
Now I'm just trying to think what supernatural curse would be able to be passed down.
Like
vampirism, would that? I don't think vampirism.
I don't think you can actually have kids if you're a vampire because you were dead. It's more along like family curses, like
the fish man could, I bet.
Like in Holes.
Yeah, Stanley Yelnats.
Stanley Yelnats is cursed. It's a family curse. But see, that's the whole family is cursed then.
Rather than just, I got bit by a werewolf.
Yeah.
Or having once been bitten by a vampire bat while in Panama, making you immune to the vampire plague.
Or being bitten by a cobra at the same time as being hit by a bolt of lightning and becoming the true Kung Fu master.
Yes.
That doesn't get passed on.
It does not.
If you want your kid to have Kung Fu mastery, you have to get out there with a cobra and possibly...
And a thunderstorm.
And a thunderstorm and get lucky, I guess.
Is that Kung Fury?
Yeah, that's Kung Fury.
I've only seen that once. I need to watch it again.
You should.
They're doing Kung Fury 2, aren't they?
I think so.
All right, but that was one plot hole. Here's the other one. There is no evidence in the film that werewolves can distinguish blood relatives, or that such a distinction would hold any value for them while in that state. It takes a huge effort for Gwen to break through to Wolfman Lawrence, and it doesn't take. Yet when young Lawrence stumbles on his werewolf father just after he's failed to recognize his wife and brutally murdered her, his father somehow avoids attacking him.
Well, there's also no evidence in the film that werewolves can't distinguish blood relatives, or that they just don't care anymore.
I'm going to posit that that werewolves can distinguish blood relatives is one of the driving factors of this movie. The main plot point, or the kick out of the door, I don't know, whatever the hero's journey is Lawrence's brother's death. And the dad killed the brother because he was angry with him. So why would the dad kill the brother if, like, maybe he was just in the way?
But except he was definitely trying to kill the brother from the plot.
Maybe it's because he was resentful. Because he was, according to our story, we do know at the time, specifically the father was getting drunk because he was depressed that his son was getting married and planning on moving away. And taking also these fiance with him, and the dad liked them both and wanted them nearby. And I think maybe it was just pent up, you know, aggression.
Plus, if we're just going to be worrying about how he didn't kill his son after he just finished killing his wife, he wasn't hungry anymore.
I don't know. If I give a treat to my dog, it will eat as many treats as I give it.
Well, have you fed your dog an entire person?
Well, I haven't tried recently, but...
Well, I think you can't rule this out then.
Okay, more testing is required.
Science.
I mean, but also it could be they have some recognition through bloodline.
Like they smell like family?
Yeah, smells like family. Whereas, you know, the wife is not bloodline. She's, you know, imported. So he's like, oh, I think this is my pup. I should not eat my pup.
Yet. Winter's not that hard.
Maybe he just didn't want to raise a werewolf child. All right, so I do have actually some plot holes that we thought of while we were watching it, right? Moments where like, wait a minute. So one is at the very beginning when John is running from the wolfman. The wolfman gets him and knocks him down, is right there, and then we cut to John running. So how did he manage to get up and get away from the wolfman when the wolfman literally had him prone?
I'm going to tie this back into the previous plot hole where the wolfman, who we now know as the father, recognized the person he was angry at and was getting his revenge on his son for leaving him.
Oh, so he was toying with him?
Exactly. He was toying with him. And another thing too, predators sometimes toy with their food. Like, cats definitely do this. Dogs sometimes do.
Wolfmen, apparently, often. The other thing would be when we see John get it, when he actually gets gotten by the werewolf, there is just copious amounts of blood leaking from a neck wound.
Buckets worth?
At least. Like, it is not a slow leak. It goes from he gets tagged to he is now covered in blood, which means that he got tagged across his aortal artery and somehow doesn't die.
You mean John or Lawrence?
Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Yeah, when Lawrence gets tagged later in the film and he's just leaking blood and they're all like, quick, we can get him to a doctor. We can still save him. It's that amount of blood. Mm-mm.
That's
mm-mm.
Because he survives because Wolfman-ism, lycanthropy, works really fast.
That's got to be the only way, because there was no way taking him on a wagon to a doctor to get some stitches was going to save his life.
The doctor was, I mean, granted, if you're going to hit an artery, you're going to bleed out within a couple seconds. I think it's like 10 seconds. I don't know exactly how fast you'll bleed out. I don't want to be on a list.
Here, I'm willing to make that Google search.
Yeah, so I think it's that he got the lycanthropy, and usually the werewolf manages to finish the person off
before it takes hold.
But he was left free, and so he started bleeding out. And just before he hit that low point, it got going, and it managed to heal the major artery, but was still working on like the wound itself.
I'm going to tie this back into our very first plot hole. Oh, what'd you find, Richard?
Oh, man, this is quick.
According to a report done by Security Magazine, if you get hit by the in the carotid artery and jugular vein where he gets tagged in the movie, it's the carotid artery is about 1.5 inches below the surface of the skin, and if severed, we will get unconsciousness and will result in death in approximately 5 to 15 seconds.
Hmm. So I'm going to say maybe 10 seconds to lycanthropy.
I'm going to tie this back into our first plot hole. Maybe the dad did pass on the lycanthropy.
Oh, so he's like, maybe he's got...
It's dormant, but it needed a catalyst.
He has recessive lycanthropism.
Maybe he's just genetically predisposed. No, that's not a word.
Predisposed.
Yes. Maybe he's just genetically predisposed towards lycanthropy.
It's like diabetes.
he's genetically predisposed to lycanthropy. Well, I mean, some people are allergic to moon dust. And we don't actually have a good number of how many people that could be.
Yeah, for some reason, they're unwilling to crush up moon rocks and just pass it around to do blind samples that way.
We just know that one of the astronauts from the Apollos... It was allergic to moon dust, and no one knew until he went there. And so we don't know how common is that. Was it inevitable?
Well, how many people went on the Apollo? How many people walked on the moon? 24?
12.
12. So, one out of those 12, that means,
it's a tiny sample size, though.
You can extrapolate.
Yeah, it's like still 100%. A bad sample size.
I guess we need to send more people to the moon.
We do. NASA, get on that.
Or Elon, I'm pretty sure Musk is on that.
So maybe a lot of people are just recessively werewolves.
Are we tying this back into the Underworld trilogy? Because no. That was a plot point.
And here's another plot hole. In the scene where he goes into a werewolf form while in the asylum, why doesn't the guy giving the speech notice? Like, everyone in the audience is freaking out. Lawrence is making all sorts of noises. And that guy is just giving a speech.
That dude was committed to his speech. He had written it. This was his dissertation. He is here to give his, doctorate presentation to the board. And just a couple of noises from your, psycho patient in the background. A couple of people that brought some popcorn in. You're not going to slow him down.
I mean, the guy...
He's getting that degree.
The guy is... he's explaining... He has a mental illness where he thinks he's going to change into a werewolf as soon as the full moon hits him. Obviously, he's going to start being a weirdo.
Also, I agree with Richard that he's used to giving speeches probably in front of a patient who was making all sorts of noises. And... as he is a psychiatrist in an era where they did not treat their patients very well, he's probably used to screaming.
The term operating theater, because you have people who show up to watch.
I kind of like to think maybe there were some college scouts in the audience, and he really needed his big break. Maybe Penn State was there. I don't know, sports teams.
And they actually were there for Lawrence because Wolfman are great at playing basketball.
Apparently. I wouldn't know, though.
You haven't seen Teen Wolf?
I have never seen Teen Wolf.
You're going to have to fix that sometime.
Next Halloween.
All right, so.
So should we get into...
I think we've got the plot holes. Let's just talk about the movie.
So since this was our very first time watching it, all of us, what'd you guys think of the movie?
It was okay.
Yeah. It wasn't nearly as bad as the people who wrote all of these really angry blogs about. It wasn't an amazing film.
I don't regret watching it, but I probably won't go watch it again.
I also don't regret watching it while playing Minecraft.
I'm on the same page. Like, I don't hate it, but it's also, I don't love it either. I don't plan on buying it.
It's a resounding meh.
It was a way to spend an afternoon.
I mean, I didn't enjoy the CG transformations. That's kind of dated now. But yeah, it was the thing at the time.
Especially because they did have some, they actually had some halfway decent practical effects in there. Like, when they're doing the werewolf chase through London after he escapes from the asylum, and he jumps off of the wolf and lands on the police officer, that's not CG or stuntmen, or that one was just stuntmen working on actual things. They had a guy in a werewolf costume jump on a police officer and then take off.
That Rick Baker made.
And so it looks really good and really real because it was.
I will say, though, if we had to go with all the bad remakes we've seen, I would prefer this over The Mummy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not groundbreaking isn't a horrible position for a remake to be in, but you're going to lose money that way. But that's how it is with remakes. You're probably going to lose money.
Unless it makes like a ton of money. And then, lucky you.
But again, like with this film, they're banking on, like, you're banking on nostalgia from the 1940s.
Which is, it's a very small target audience in 2010.
And
you're looking for what, a 70 year, like, you're looking at your 90 year olds.
And then on top of that, you have the 90 year olds. And then the people who are like, oh, I love classic horror films. But they're also the people who are viewing it through a very critical nostalgia lens. And so even if you're doing your best to match up to the original Wolfman, there's, like, you can make all sorts of nods, and the movie did. But they're not necessarily things that are going to win you Academy Awards or make a lot of money.
I'm just thrown by the budget they gave it to. Was that $150
million? $150
million. That is summertime blockbuster.
And when did this... I forget. When did
February.
February is where movies go to die.
I mean, there is a gamble. That's a great time to make money because that's where it's all the other movies that are going to die. But I just... $150 million is like way too much for this kind of movie.
A lot of things with this is there were a lot of production issues.
So I bet
because filming wrapped in, I think it was 2008, and it took 2 years of post-production to get this released.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking they were shooting for a Halloween release, but it just kept getting pushed back, and ultimately they said, you know what, release it in February. We're going to lose money on this. Get the insurance get the insurance up. We'll at least make money back that way. So this is more of a meta question. What do you think werewolf movies are, or werewolf stories are trying to say? To me, it kind of seems like they're going into the root of the werewolf, werewolf myth. Like, John, you probably know more because you're weird like this, but what is, like,
yeah, John,
well, I mean we're all, I'm talk as I say, you know, a guy who does podcasting about plot holes in movies.
We are three randos in a basement.
But what I wanted to bring up is, and let me know if it's not even on topic, we can talk about later, but what is the main, like, I don't want to say problem with werewolves, but just what is the story he's trying to teach with a werewolf?
I'd say the story that you want with the werewolf is the, who is someone behind closed doors? Like, it's the whole duality thing. And very specifically, when we look at the werewolves, it's often the werewolf is the protagonist and the antagonist. They're both, which is actually kind of a common thing in gothic horror, a theme that I don't think a lot of people I've talked about. It's one I take it from that era, is gothic horror follows the fear of what if man had godlike powers. And as the werewolf, you know, it's like you turn into a werewolf at night, you go kill people, and then you're a normal person during the day. This is your hidden monster, and you're really hard to kill. So if you had the ability to hide your darker self and suffer no consequences while you're doing it, what would you do?
And that is kind of the point they try to make with this film, with the whole where does man end and beast begin?
Oh yeah, when they actually, when like the gypsies come out and like actually say that. Okay, I was just wondering, like,
so it falls heavily in the same vein as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and The Invisible Man.
And kind of Frankenstein, just like, or Frankenstein's monster, whatever, like, he has the godlike powers, you know, what does he do with it?
Yeah, and specifically in the original story of Frankenstein, the monster is rather intelligent, and he is actually kind of a philosopher at that point, because he's well-read. And he decides to do these evil things. He has full knowledge that what he's doing is wrong, but he still does it. Another thing, do you feel like this was going to be part of a resurgence of Universal movies, monster movies? Because I don't remember that being a specific thing they were working for at the time period, but it feels like they wanted to do more Universal monster movies.
I think it was one of those things where if it worked out, they were going to continue, because then they could keep releasing all of the classic horror film monsters in their own films. But when it tanked, they were just like, yep, it was a standalone.
I think they were kind of influenced by Marvel towards it, because you have... The Marvel movies had come out in 2008, starting with Iron Man.
But that's one of those things, though, is even if it did, like, they finished wrapping the same time Iron Man came out. And so then they had 2 years of post-production. They're like, oh, we can make it, like, because...
Oh, I can imagine an executive.
They can start built. They're like, oh, Iron Man was super good. And they, if they can turn that, like, and C-list superhero into a movie franchise... We can bank on the Wolfman.
Yeah, I imagine an executive coming in late and saying, all right, to the marketing team, this is what we're doing, and starting to look at the other things they could do, and then, like, okay, maybe not.
Because the Wolfman, I think, works very well as its own standalone. Like, if you, let's go back to the original Universal Monsters, that, you know, one of the original crossovers. Because you always had, you know, Dracula versus Frankenstein, or the Wolf Frankenstein versus the Wolfman, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. There were team ups and conflicts all over the place.
The Wolfman is definitely, it doesn't need a co-star, but it's really easy to put the Wolfman into other.
You just throw Wolfman into anything.
Well, I mean, that's what good DMs do, right? If they don't, or dungeon masters do, if they don't know like what happens, and then it's like just roll the die and maybe, oh, a Wolfman stumbles through the wall.
Look, I've only got one random encounter sheet. So you're swimming along and then you get attacked by a tiger.
All right. Yeah. Now, I do believe that the Blumhouse Marvel Universe are Universal monster movies is on the list now, because the Invisible Man worked out well, so they were starting to do more. And I'm trying to think if that was one of the ones they had announced.
Invisible Man was one of them.
Well, Invisible Man came out and was successful, and so they are doing more.
I mean, so you had the Mummy. Invisible Man was one of them. Dracula was the first one. I don't think they've done a Frankenstein. And I think we actually talked about this.
Well, that specifically is Dracula. Universal did them, but they sold to Blumhouse to do it. So Blumhouse is now doing their version of the Dark Universe. And they've done the Invisible Man.
Yep. And then the two ones slated for Blumhouse are Dracula and the Wolfman.
Yeah, so we will be getting another Wolfman remake in the next few years, and it will not have a budget of $150 million. And so it'll probably turn a profit, even if it's not great.
I'm just thinking about that budget. I almost think it, most of it is going towards CGI.
Yeah, I think they were trying to wow. And but it, you know, we have had 10 years of CG expansion since then, so it just doesn't look great anymore. It's not what we're looking for. It might look great at the time. I don't know. I didn't watch it then.
I mean, for the comparison of this Wolfman to the Blumhouse Invisible Man. The Blumhouse Invisible Man cost $7 million. And turned the same and earned the same amount of money as this Wolfman movie at $134 million. One of these is listed as a successful film. And well, it's not the Wolfman.
The great thing about The Invisible Man is you can save a lot of money by not filming things.
It's true. It's true. All you have to do is not have somebody in the scene. And hey, they were actually there the whole time. But... So it'll be interesting to see how, like, if we get, when we get the Wolfman remake done by Blumhouse, lower budget, but even if it only earns the same amount of money as this one does, still turns a profit.
Ooh, question for you guys then, since we're now talking about the shared universe, who do you want to see next in the shared universe? We have Dracula and Wolfman coming out with the Invisible Man.
I think a well-done Frankenstein.
So, it's on the books, but it's not a Blumhouse film.
Yeah.
And then, like the Daniel Radcliffe one, right? I, Frankenstein?
Well, that's not the one that I was thinking about. They've got one that's on the list of upcoming films. They've got James Wan as the producer right now, but they haven't actually figured out a director.
Oh, okay.
So far.
Oh, James Wan... I was thinking of just a Mission Impossible too, because
I think that's someone different.
I think it's the guy who did Aquaman.
No, because this guy did like an Insidious.
Oh, he did do Aquaman.
Oh, he did Aquaman.
He did Aquaman, but he also did Insidious, Saw, The Conjuring, and Furious 7.
I haven't seen any Fast and the Furious movies.
Not even the first ones?
Not even the first ones.
Wow.
I've seen the first three. I think I ended with Tokyo Drift.
Like, it's one of those things that became a franchise before I had realized it was going to be a franchise.
See, I saw all the serious ones, and then they realized, you know what? We can have fun.
We're a crazy car racing series, so maybe we should just have some crazy car racing and, like, just see what the craziest stunt we can pull off with vehicles is.
Look,
I'm surprised they didn't get Tom Cruise, because Tom Cruise would run in this movie and then jump into a car as it fell out of an airplane, and he would do that stunt.
That's a Mission Impossible stunt, though.
Yeah, that's why, is because they approached him for it, and he's like, just so you know, because I have this recorded, I'm now contractually obligated to put it in my own movies, and you can't have this. That's why they now have to have The Rock using a grappling hook to pull a helicopter out of the air, while drifting his car across a cliff edge.
Yeah, that was in the newest Hobbs and Shaw, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie, but it was in the trailer. So I guess we'll finish our
look
Fast and Furious discussion.
Yeah. Fast and the Furious is like one anime adaptation from Redline at this point.
I mean, but in the end, I'm going to have to say thank you to our patrons.
Would you tear them apart if you were locked in a room with them?
Well, obviously not. Now, if I was a werewolf, I might not tear them up.
I'd feel bad about it, though.
I mean...
Because they're great people.
Yeah.
We'd be tortured inside over what we'd done.
Yep. But not hungry. Not anymore.
But if you have the actual science behind werewolves, feel free to send it to us at plotspacklepodcast@gmail.com. We will peer review that scientific paper.
Also, don't forget to like and comment on our Facebook posts.
We do those sometimes.
We should do these more.
Yeah, we should. I saw a trailer and I wanted to get a conversation started, but from the Facebook metrics, no one actually looked at it, and I was kind of sad. I'll have to show you this trailer, but it's called Fat Man. Have you guys seen that?
I saw that you posted it. I didn't watch the trailer.
Okay, you'll have to watch. I'll show you guys the trailer, but we should watch this. We'll do a Christmas episode on it.
But afterwards, after people send us things on Twitter.
In 280 characters or less.
At PlotSpecklePod on Twitter. And yeah, we'll you can talk about wolfmen and werewolves. And where you turned into a werewolf and it was very awkward. What's your werewolf story?
What is the best werewolf movie? Is it the 1981 American Werewolf in London? Is it Teen Wolf?
Is it Dog Soldiers?
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen that one either. I've just heard of it.
How about Underworld? Are you rooting for that? I think it's based off of a book or comic book, probably.
All right. Real talk here, though. I think the best werewolf designs was actually in Van Helsing.
They were pretty good.
I enjoy those. Maybe not for horror werewolves, but for really cool werewolves. So well, what's the worst werewolf?
Worst werewolf. Have you guys seen that Indian one? Like where they literally cut the frame and they paste a fur patch on him. It's like five shots, like in quick succession. Where
well, that's how they did the original Wolfman.
Yeah, but this was like 1990s.
I think the worst Wolfman is definitely the one that ended up getting put into MST3K.
Oh yeah, werewolves.
How very interesting.